1 Samuel 25, beginning with verse number 2. Now, here's the story. David was a young man. He was not the king. Saul was the king. Saul was hunting him, looking for him, trying to catch him. David's wandering around in the wilderness, and David and his 600 soldiers that were with him were short of food. And so David had helped Nabal's servants that were out in the field. He had cared for, he had protected them from danger and protected them from harm while they were there, and they didn't steal any of their sheep, and they were very good to them. So David said, well, you know, let's go ask him. He's a very wealthy man, rich man. Let's ask him for some help and see if he'll give us some food to eat, because we're short on food. And so they went and asked Nabal, and Nabal rails on him. All right, and he gives them all this, you know, selfish response to David's servants. And David said, okay, guys, get your swords. Let's go get them. And they were going to go wipe them out. And Abigail hears of it, and she comes to the rescue. And you can read the rest of the story. And Abigail quickly gathers some food and sends it off to David and says, you know, don't attack us. Here's some food to keep peace. And so Abigail and Nabal were the couple we're looking at here tonight. And Abigail and Nabal lived in Maon near Mount Carmel in Israel. And Abigail was a very beautiful woman. The Bible says she was a woman of good understanding. The idea of the word good understanding means that she was pleasant, she was agreeable, she was good-natured, she was prudent, she was generous. Totally different than her husband. Her husband, Nabal, was he was ungodly, he was hard, he was cruel. The word churlish means all these things, to be mean and cruel and severe and obstinate and fierce and stubborn and very, very selfish. And so we got two opposites here in their marriage. You can just imagine what kind of a marriage they had. Here's a woman who's loving and gentle and generous, and here's her husband that is mean and ornery and cruel and selfish. And there must have been a real lot of conflict in that marriage. There must have been a lot of tension in that marriage because of the selfishness that was found in their marriage. Now, according to the dictionary, selfishness means stinginess resulting from a concern for your own welfare and disregard for others. All right, let's think about that. What is selfishness? Selfishness is a concern for your own self and a disregard for others. Not worried about anybody else, I'm worried about me. Did you see that one verse when Nabal is describing these things? He talks about my, all the way through it. You know, it's everything was his. It's mine. And so there's that selfishness there. An Irish poet named Oscar Wilde define selfishness like this. He says, selfishness is not living as one wishes to live, but asking others to live as one wishes to live. I thought that's a pretty good definition. Selfishness. You know, any marriage that is plagued with selfishness is destined to trouble. Not just the marriage, but a whole home. If there is selfishness in a home, your home is going to have problems. You cannot have selfishness in your home and have happiness. Selfishness and happiness don't work together. They just don't go together. And so tonight, as we look at this, as home builders, we need to learn to quash selfishness. The word quash, I use that word because it's a concise word, but it means to put down, to stop, to, in a sense, to step on something, to quash it. And so we need to quash selfishness if we're going to have happiness in our homes. Now, this applies to all of us. You know, whether we're Benjamin Phillips' age or whether we're, you know, old like me, it fits into all of us. We all need to deal with selfishness because selfishness will ruin our relationships with other people, and especially will ruin a family's relationship and a husband and wife's relationship. So now we're going to look at four steps in reaching this goal of quashing selfishness. Four steps. Basic things, but important things. The first step is to identify the symptoms of selfishness. We need to know what we're looking at. You know, you can't squash something. You can't get rid of something until you know what you're looking for. You know, it's just like in our garden. Melody might say, something's eating our cabbages. Well, what? I don't know. Well, you can't really attack them until you know what your problem is. You got to go out there and you look around until you find the problem and then say, oh, I found him. This is a little black worm. All right, now how are we going to get rid of him? Now we got a plan. But you need to know what it is before you can attack it. And so it is with selfishness. Sometimes we have a vague idea of selfishness, but we need to really understand what we're dealing with here. Selfishness is a me first syndrome. It's this idea of everything centers around me. Life is about me. Life is about what I want. You know, selfish people are focused on their own happiness. And they demand their own way. They expect perfection. They get angry. They're proud. They're critical. And they act like a spoiled child. Selfishness. You know, Gary Smalley, who is a marriage counselor and an author, he made this statement in one of his books that I thought was really well said. He said, "We may think people make us angry, but most of the time, it is simply they reveal our own selfishness." And I thought, you know, that's so true. We think people are making us angry, but in reality, they're really revealing our own selfishness. They're revealing our selfishness. And our selfishness makes us angry because somebody is stepping on my territory. You know, selfishness is clearly disobedient to God's command. We need to understand it and need to really truly believe that in our hearts. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We're to esteem. Esteem means to lift up. We're to esteem others better than ourselves. We're to put other people ahead of ourselves. We're to lift them up instead of ourselves. And selfishness just does the opposite. I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to take care of me because what I want is important. So selfishness is against what God's word tells us to do. Now, selfishness usually has very deep roots. And that's something we need to understand. Where did it come from? Well, I think we can all trace it back to our sinful nature. Our sin nature is where we get our selfishness. But why does selfishness develop? Why is it that selfishness develops in some people to a greater degree than other people? Why is it that some people seem to have a better control over selfishness than others? I think we all have a tendency to selfishness to a degree. But some people have a severe problem with selfishness and others it's only a minor problem. Why is there a difference? Well, in my reading and my research and studies as I was preparing for this, I came up with several good ideas that I think can give us some hints of where it comes from. First of all, parents spoil their children. You know, it develops in their childhood. And here's why. Because of spoiling of children. You know, children that are let have their own way become stubborn and proud and selfish. We cannot spoil our children and think that they're not going to be affected by it. Spoiled children become selfish because they get everything they want and they expect to get everything they want throughout life. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. That's not reality, and it's definitely a bad start in life. Also, parents fail to reach the child's heart through Bible instruction, through discipline, through prayer. You know, we've got to reach our children's hearts. We're going to be talking some more about that in the weeks to come. But we've got to reach their heart with Bible instruction, with discipline, and with prayer. And thus, when parents fail to develop these sharing, giving, caring, and others first virtues in the child becomes selfish. The children need to learn to share. When they're little tykes, they need to learn to share. They need to learn to be giving and caring and putting others first. And if they don't learn that as a child, it'll keep on growing in their life and on and through adulthood. And another thing that is a great problem is that in many homes, parents model selfishness. And the children follow the example. And that's tragic. But that's, you know, the children learn much from their parents. And then as a teenager, the child becomes a comfort and pleasure seeker. You know, I want my comfort and I want my pleasure. And, you know, it's all about me and taking care of me and meeting my needs. And he's developed that through the deep roots of childhood and growing up and getting what he wants and demanding what he wants and getting, you know, allowed to eat what he wants and allowed to wear what he wants and allowed to do what he wants and never made to do what was told him to do and just always getting what he wants. And then when he gets to be a teenager, he just expects it and then on into adulthood and it carries right over into life. And so there's the selfishness that develops. So the very first step is identifying the symptoms of selfishness. The second step is becoming convinced of the harm of selfishness. You know, until we're convinced that it's bad, we're never going to deal with it. That's the way it is in many problems that we have in life. You will never deal with a problem until you are absolutely convinced this is wrong and this is bad. And I've got to do with it. Deal with it. Now, as we look at this, what are some of the harms? Well, first of all, it harms our walk with God. Selfishness will harm our walk with God. We are not to live for self, but we're to live for God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "And he that and that he died for all, that they which live should not live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again." God says we are not to live to ourselves, we are to live for God. Once we've been saved, our life is not about me, life is about God. And we need to live for God. And if we don't, if we're selfish and we don't do that, then we're disobeying God and it's going to harm our walk with God. It also disobeys God's commands to love others as ourselves. Jesus said when he was asked, you know, what are the great commandments? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, he said, "The second is like unto the first." He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Selfish people don't love each other, love others like themselves. They love themselves first and others, you know, down the road somewhere. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." You know, that's the verse that we have paraphrased into doing to others, you would have them do unto you. If you want others to treat you right, you need to treat them right. And selfishness keeps us from doing that because selfishness, again, is focusing on what I want. I don't care what you want. Selfishness also is among the sins of the last days. You know, that when we see that, we can see, when we find a list of things God says in the last days, this is what's going to be like. We can see in that list, these are some dangerous things that are developing in the future. And we see this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." But the very first thing on his list is lovers of their own selves. Selfishness. Selfishness. And so we need to be convinced God is against it. It will hurt my walk with God. It will hurt my obedience to God. It will hurt my relationship to God. So I've got to deal with it. But also we need to be convinced that it's going to hurt my marriage and my relationship with others. Whether it be my relationship with friends or relationship with parents or relationship with my spouse, it will hurt our relationships. And we find that, first of all, it harms by causing us to be unloving. In the love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, in the midst of what he's telling us about love, he says, "Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil." It doesn't seek her own. You know, true love is giving of ourselves to meet the needs of another. But he says, love doesn't seek its own. Love is not concerned about what I want. Love is concerned about what I can do for them, what they need, meeting their needs. And so if we're focusing on ourselves, we're not loving like we're supposed to be loving. We're disobeying the very area of love. And so it will harm us by making us unloving, but also it harms by causing us to dishonor our spouse. It harms by dishonoring our spouse. Two different verses, one dealing with a man, one dealing with a woman, both address this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 as addresses the husbands, and he says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And if we're selfish, we're not going to give the honor to our spouse like we're supposed to. The same thing is true in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, a verse we looked at last week. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife as even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Part of reverencing her husband is respecting her husband and honoring her husband. And so there is here God is saying, if we are selfish, we're focused on ourselves. We're not focused on our spouse. We're not focused on our children. We're not focused on others. And we're going to be very selfish and dishonoring to others. But then there's several other things that we could look at here. Let me just read off a list of things that will harm will be harmed in our relationships if we're selfish. Selfishness will undermine marital friendship and communication. You know, that's one of the main reasons that I chose to address this one in the order that we did, because down the road we're going to be looking at communication, but you cannot have good communication with selfishness. The two of them are, you know, opposite ends of the magnet. If there's selfishness, communication is not going to happen because I want what I want. I don't really care what you want. And that wrecks communication and friendship. It causes emotional harm. It ruins holidays. You know, you think about it. Times when you're supposed to have a special happy time and somebody's selfish and it's all about me and I'm not worried about you, then everybody else can, you know, kind of wrecks the whole fun of everything because of selfishness. It leads to self-gratification and pornography. It promotes anger. It puts a wedge between you and others. It leads to infidelity and divorce. All of these things, it's because of selfishness. And see, selfishness, I share all these things with us because we've got to be convinced that selfishness is very, very harmful. It is harmful to my walk with God. It is harmful to my relationship with others. And it's particularly harmful to my relationship with my spouse. And so we've got to deal with this and understand, yes, selfishness is very, very harmful and very bad. And it is something that I've got to deal with. That brings us to step three. Step three is admitting the problem if you are selfish. That is so hard. None of us like to admit our guilt. I mean, that's just our human nature. You know, well, I might be a little bit selfish, but I'm not as bad as they say. You know, they're just exaggerating it, you know, and those kind of things. And that's our self-defense. That's our normal self-defense. And we all do that. But, you know, we need to take an honest look in the mirror at our life. You know, we need to just take God's mirror of His Word and just have a good long look in it and say, God, show me, am I really a selfish person? And if I am, God, how am I selfish? And then, God, how can I deal with it? You know, we need to look and take a look at God's mirror and just ask God to reveal it to us. You know, Nabal, I wish we could just turn the clock back and walk up to Nabal and ask him, Nabal, are you a selfish person? He probably would, get out of here, I'm not selfish, leave me alone, you know. Oh, yeah, he was just a grump type of a guy. But he was very selfish. Can you imagine living with him? You know, you ladies, how would you like a husband that was like him? I mean, he didn't have a very good reputation. And I mean, even his servants said, he's such a son of Belial. The word son of Belial literally means he's such a rotten, wicked person that nobody can even talk to him. And here's his servants, the guys that are working for him. They say, nobody can talk to him because he's such a mean, old, rotten person. And, you know, trying to live with that. But he probably didn't think he was selfish. And if he did, he didn't really care. You know, often selfish people are blind to their own sin. And that is true, and not just with selfishness, but a lot of sins. The things that we do wrong, many times we're blind to that sin. It's like, me? That? No, not me. I know some other people have, but not me. And, you know, and we don't admit it. So one of the things there's two basic things we can do to help us. One of them is one that really grates at us and we don't like to do, but it's probably the most helpful. And that is to ask somebody who's close to you, am I a selfish person? We don't like that because we're afraid they might say yes. All right? But that's probably the most helpful thing, because if they say yes, then what we need to do is we need to look at our own life for serious symptoms of selfishness. And I've got a list of them here. And again, probably the best thing to do is to just download it off the web. But I'll read off this list of symptoms of selfishness that can help us as we're looking in the mirror of our life. A person that is selfish demands their own way. They have unreasonable expectations. They're insensitive. They get angry when you don't give them their way. They have a strong sense of that's mine. They expect perfection. They blame others for their failures. They're critical, proud. They act like a spoiled child. They seldom express appreciation. They ignore the opinions of others. They verbally attack others. They're harsh. They're habitually late. They treat others as unimportant. And they're unwilling to admit their guilt. There's a long list. And there's probably lots more that could be added to that list. But you know, as we look at that list and use that list as a mirror and just ask ourselves, Lord, are those characteristics in my life? Does that describe me? And if it does, what we need to do is say, I've got a problem. You know, if we're selfish, we must admit the selfishness before we'll ever change. We will never, ever change if we don't admit it. We won't, because we don't even want to admit that it's an issue with us. And so we've got to admit it first. You know, denying the problem only deepens the problem. Denying the problem only deepens the problem. It doesn't make it any better. The right thing to do is to ask God to break our heart and make us willing to do whatever needs to be done to quash the selfishness. Lord, whatever it needs. You know, verses like Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, what we need is a broken heart. A broken heart over our sin, and just coming to God and said, God, I look at this mirror in my life and I see so many of these things in my life, and I can see that I am a selfish person. And God, you've got to help me. I can't solve the problem myself. I need your help. And that brings us to step four. Step four is, with God's help, we can quash selfishness. With God's help, quash the selfishness. Again, Gary Smalley, in his book, Love is a Decision, he relates the following story that his wife said to him that awakened him to his sin. And I want to quote this because it really expresses it in a concise way. Here's what she said to him. She said, I feel that all the football games you watch on television are more important than I am. The newspaper, your hobbies, your counseling at church. Gary, I can spend hours working in the kitchen and you never say a word. It's like I don't matter to you, but other people do. In fact, sometimes I feel that you're more polite to total strangers than you are to me. You'll say the most awful things to me, but never to anyone else, especially not to the people at church. And Brother Smalley goes on to say that was what woke him up. And he realized, I've got a problem, and I've got to deal with it. Here he is, a marriage counselor, and yet he's got a problem with selfishness in his own heart. And it humbled him. And he was determined, with God's help, to change. And you know, we need to, when we come to the place where we say, yes, I can see in the mirror, it's me. I've got a problem with selfishness. The right thing to do is to confess our selfishness as sin. And obviously, the two people that we've got to confess to is, first of all, God. We've got to come to God and confess to God. Proverbs 28:13 and 1 John 1:9, both verses that tell us if we'll confess our sin, God will forgive us and cleanse us. But then also, as a married person, we need to go to our spouse. And, you know, if you're not married, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your friend, whatever it is, whoever it is that you've hurt with your selfishness, you need to go to them and deal with it and seek their forgiveness. You know, one of the things is I was reading this week that stuck in my mind, I guess maybe it was a sermon I was listening to on the marriage issues. The preacher mentioned this. He said that we don't need to just apologize. He says apologizing is not the whole answer, because it doesn't take care of the whole problem. He says we need to ask forgiveness. Instead of just saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, that's a good start, but it hasn't taken care of the problem. Instead of saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong, say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? See, what that does is it gets a response. And it allows the person that has been hurt to release you of the wrong. And so we need to make sure that we make no excuses. We call selfishness sin, and that we clearly state, I have been selfish, I have hurt you, I was wrong, would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? Now, if you've been selfish for a long time, you can't expect your spouse to instantly get all excited. Gary goes on in this story that he was telling. He said, you know, it took 2 years before his wife was convinced that he was really going to change, because he had been selfish so long. And she finally was able to be convinced But he said it took a long time to rebuild the trust. Even though he was trying his best and being faithful and treating her right and honoring her and lifting her up in her, as he should, instead of putting her down and putting himself first, he was putting her first. But it took a long time to rebuild that. And, you know, you may trip up when you're trying to do right. You know, we all do. And when that happens, the thing to do is come back on our knees and say, Lord, I was wrong. And tell your spouse or your friend or whoever it was, I was wrong. I failed. I've been trying to work at my selfishness, but I didn't treat you right again. And seek their forgiveness. You know, we need to truly ask God to change our hearts. We need to spend much time in prayer about our selfishness. Just come to God and say, God, I've got to have victory, and I know you're the only one that can give me victory. I need your help. And just pour out your heart to God. Talk to God about it regularly. Come to God and just tell Him exactly the situations. Talk to Him about the things that you're struggling with and the selfish areas of your life. And just talk to God about it. And then we need to reorganize our priorities. Our priorities in life. You know, we need to make sure that on the top priority is God. And if we were to list all of our priorities and number them 1 to 10, and 10 being at the highest and 1 being at the lowest, God should have a 10. So that we could honestly come before God and look Him in the face and say, God, I give you my primary focus. I give you special time every day. I have devoted my time to you every day. And I'm not going to be selfish with my time with you, God. You are going to get first place in my life. And we need to value God. We need to value the Bible. We need to value our prayer time and make it an absolute priority. And without any exceptions where we say, well, you know, I just got busy. No, if it's important to us and we're going to deal with our selfishness, God has to be first. God has to be first. And then we need to give our spouse place number 9. Not 7 or 8 or 6 or 4, but number 9, right after God. God's the most important in my life. My wife is to be the next important in my life. Above all else, above my activities, above my hobbies, above my fun, above my children, above my work, above everything else, my wife is to be number 2 in my life. God's number 1, and my wife's number 2. And then, after we've given our spouse the position of honor, then we need to give our children a place number 8. And it's important because what happens many times, I don't have time for the kids. I am busy. I don't have time for that. And we put it off until they're, you know, 20 years old. And then we say, oh, I should have spent more time with them when they were 6 and 7. But I didn't take the time. And now it's too late. They're gone. And, you know, I look back at it and I know. I mean, if there was one thing, and I think all of my boys, if you were to ask them to name one thing that I failed to do, I failed to give them some devoted time like I should. Well, I gave them time, but not as much as I should have. I don't know that they were always number 8. There was probably a lot of times my boys were number 5 or 4 or 6 instead of number 8. And, you know, we need to devote our time to those things that are truly important in life. We need to learn to put others before ourselves. Selfishness is that battle with me, that me first syndrome. I'm important in life, and I've got my plans, and I've got my goals, and this is mine, and this is what I want to do, and you need to do it my way. No, we need to say, no, God, we're going to do it your way. You're number 1. And look at our spouse and say, honey, I'm going to try to put you number 2 before, just after God. God's first, you're second. And I'm going to try my best with God's help to put you in second place in my life all the time. Above my work, above my hobbies, above my goals in life, above my children, above all the things that I enjoy doing, you're going to get second place right below God. And then place of children underneath. You know, it takes work. It takes effort. But you know, we need to learn to put things in order in life. You know, we need to begin to be helpful. We need to begin to be generous. We need to begin to tithe. We need to begin to promote others. We need to begin to be empathetic and care about others' needs. We need to begin to be forgiving. We need to begin to put others ahead of myself instead of always thinking about me. And, you know, this is one of the most difficult things because Especially if you grew up in a situation where you learned to be selfish as a youngster and were spoiled and got what you wanted and got everything you wanted. You got to choose what kind of cereal you ate. No, I don't want that. Eat whatever you want. And I mean, some parents give their children, you know, you got 10 options. What do you want to eat this morning? Well, you know, what's wrong with just saying this is what we're having for breakfast? Because it helps the child to submit to authority instead of being selfish and saying, I want this and I want that. But, you know, if you grew up in that kind of a home where you got to choose everything and do everything you wanted and you kept growing like that, and as a teenager you become a selfish, self-centered, self-focused person, and then it goes right on into adult, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to break that cycle and to pull that root out. You know what it's like with weeds. You know, the bigger the weed gets, the deeper the root goes. You know, there's sometimes you get a hold of a weed and you got to get both hands on it and jerk. You know, my neighbor just removed a tree, a palm tree. I never realized how powerful the roots are in a palm tree. He had this palm tree. It was this big around right next to our fence. It was breaking our fence and it was bothering him. So he decided to cut it down and get it out of there. It took him days. It took him days. He had the thing almost dug out and he put his four-wheel drive ute on it and pulled on it and he couldn't pull it out. He had to keep digging and digging and digging because it was deeply rooted. You know, sometimes that's the way it's going to be with selfishness. If it's deeply rooted from your youth up, it's going to be difficult to dig it out. But that doesn't give us an excuse to say, well, it's too deep. I'm not going to worry about it. No, it's got to come out. We've got to work at it. And so let's just get on our knees before God and pour your heart out to God. And, you know, it would do us good to just shed some tears before God and say, God, this is destroying me and I've got a victory. I got to have help. I need your help. Give me victory over this area of my life. And you know, if we'll do that, it'll help so many areas. It'll especially be a help to our marriage. If you're married, if you're not married, it'll help your relationship with your parents, with your relationship with friends. But when you get married, it's one of the greatest things. We cannot be selfish. You know, the times that I'm selfish with my wife, you know, and I put myself before her are times of friction. But when I put her first, we have harmony and happiness. And that's the way it's got to be. And we cannot have a happy home with selfishness. The two of them are like water and oil. They don't mix. And we've got to deal with it. So tonight, the challenge is, take a look at God's mirror. Take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a selfish person? And if you see selfishness in the mirror, the right thing to do is say, I am guilty, and I've got to get rid of this. It will destroy me. It'll hurt me. It'll harm me. I've got to get rid of the selfishness. And then get on your knees before God and beg God to change your life. And begin to change your priorities. And just, it would do you well if you struggle with this to actually write down a list of things in your life that are important to you and see right now where they are in order. Where is God in your life? You know, take a look over the last week. Where have you put God in the last week? Has God been number 10 at the top of the list, or has He been down about 5? And just be honest. You know, make the list there and make 2 columns, you know, so you can see, all right, this is where He's been right now, and number the things of your life. And then on the other side, renumber them and say, all right, this is where it's got to be. This is going to be number 10. This is going to be number 9. This is going to be number 8. And reorganize things. And then just ask God, God, help me to do what I have to do to put things in order. And God can help you. There's nobody that can do it but you. You've got to deal with it. It's an issue in our own hearts that we've got to deal with. But I urge you to let God have His way in your life so that we can make progress. Next week, we're going to be looking at another very vitally important aspect of building relationships, and it's at the foundation. Before we can look at communication, I want to look at communication. The books that I've read, many of them say the number one problem in marriages worldwide is communication. The number one problem. But before we can tackle the communication problem, we've got to get the roots out that are stopping it. Because we'll never be able to communicate and learn how to communicate until we deal with the things that are causing the problems. And selfishness is one of them. Next week we're going to be looking at another issue that is a problem in preventing communication.